Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
I feel like Ricky Vaughn running in from the bullpen.
Yeah, it always makes me think of that movie, too. Which was, I saw that on the other day. I saw a little bit of it. Major League or whatever.
I could look as good as Charlie Sheen.
That haircut, though, he had when he gets out of prison.
Should I try that haircut? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You need to lose a bet to get that. That zigzag thing he had going on
it's
the back.
It's horrible.
I don't think even Vanilla Ice would have worn that at that time.
No, it's bad. There's zero chance I'm betting anything that makes me have that haircut. Regardless, we're back. Final hour of overtime here on The Fan.
Like, we did get B-Mitch in a tutu. You never know, man. Around here, you never know.
It's true. Listen, if Washington wins the Super Bowl, fine. I'll shave my head like that. Fine. Which, you're going to pull that audio. And I hope I have to have my hair shaved that way, by the way. I would love for them to win a Super Bowl.
All right. Now you're making me have to save it. I'll do it. Let's do it.
You know what? We can go find it if that happens. Or we can just forget about it.
No, I'll save it today. I'll save it. I'm going to email it to myself, put a little star on it in Gmail.
Well, hopefully you don't have to delete it. Hopefully you get to play that again in a couple of in about a month or so.
Yeah, man.
We're watching this Chargers-Texans game. We'll get back into Commanders-Bucks here in just a sec. What is it about Texas teams and the stupid sunlight on the field? You both have domes, and you've got sunlight in the middle of the day, making it so that the camera can't adjust its lighting correctly, so there are certain spots that it's just, like, blinding to look at. Why are we doing this? Put up a curtain. Jerry's got to put up a curtain for sure.
I will tell you, though, I have a feeling the engineers that build the stadium don't take a lot of that into account is what it's coming down to.
Or just put curtains
on.
It's not that hard.
I hear you.
Put curtains. The funniest thing was when Jerry World had the issue, what was it, for Thanksgiving or something else? One of those random games in the middle of the day that always has that issue with the sun. And CeeDee Lamb couldn't catch the ball because of it. Couple days later, I think there was a wrestling event there, and what do you know? There were curtains up on the giant windows. So they definitely put the curtains up. They just refused to because they're stubborn. Commanders Bucks tomorrow night. We're going to give you our predictions a little bit later. Also want to give you some keys to the game if you want to hop in. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So my number one key to the game in this one, I've got a few of them, but the first one I'm going to start with here, do not start slow. Don't start slow. The last three games, they have trailed at halftime, 6-3 to Dallas, 17-7 to Atlanta, 21-14 against Philly. Atlanta, remember, they started well and then played horrible the rest of the half. Dallas was a terrible first half, and I get that that's a unique situation, but that was not good. And Philadelphia was okay, but remember, they started slow in that one too, and then eventually came back once Hurts left the game. So you don't want to start slow in the playoffs because you could end up burying yourself before you even get a chance. Not to say they can't come back because they've proven they can, but you don't want to put yourself in a hole early. So my number one thing is come out, take control of the game, play well early on, don't dig yourself a hole, don't start slow, don't put yourself behind the eight ball early on, and you like your chances. You know, we were talking in the break, the Bucks pass defense isn't great. If you have to get in a shootout, you get in a shootout. You take your chances. If you're going to win this game, it's probably not going to be on the back of your defense. It's going to be on the back of the offense. The problem is the defense kind of does the same thing, and they've played well in the second halves of games recently, but I need them to play well early on and the offense not to start slow. You can't start slow. They've overcome it, but you get to the playoffs, you're playing a good team every single time you play. You do not want to start slow. The other thing, and we've talked plenty about this in the show, they've got to find some sort of running game. Doesn't even have to be with Brian Robinson. Doesn't have to be with Chris Rodriguez, Austin Eckler, McNichols. You just got to find a run game, even if it's Jaden, even if it's reverses with different receivers. I do not care. Find a way to run the football just to make it a little bit easier and also make it so you don't have to score 40, right? Like, if you're going to get into a shootout and you're just going to go up and down the field, up and down the field, the more possessions that the Buccaneers get, they're going to score the more points, right? Like, they are an explosive offense. I don't mind if you have to get into the 30s. If you're having to get into the 40s, you're making it even more difficult because the margin for error is just that much more slim. You want to have at least some sort of run game, even if it has to be simply Jaden Daniels. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. What are your keys to the game? Let's get out to Andre in Manassas. Andre, what's going on?
Hey, Toby, man, it's great talking to you. Every time I just got in my car, your show was coming off the radio and you were making some cool points, and I always wanted to say turnovers. I didn't realize how bad our turnover margin was until the commentator kept on bringing it up on the Dallas game, and I looked at the numbers. Yeah, we're like plus one. So I think if there's any way, and you know, that's what they always talk about. It. Granted, you know, we had that, what was the word I'm looking for? When we had like 5-0 turnovers versus Philly and we still won the game, but that's the anomaly. That's the exception. That's not the rule. So I think if we can get some turnovers, we'll be fine. Having said all that, I'm listening to everyone talking about our team going to the playoffs and, you know, particularly our defense. You would think that we rose too soon. We shouldn't be in the playoffs as bad as our fan base is talking about the team, particularly the defense. I mean, we have a top half of the league defense. This is top 15, might be top 12 or something like that. We're not that bad, but people make it sound as if like we're in the 30s. So sometimes I wonder, hey, did we peak too soon? You know, are we in a situation? Yeah, it was good to win. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad to get the 12 wins. I'm loving it. But to hear some people talk and hear some fans talk, it's almost as if, you know, we peak too soon and, you know, we need higher draft picks and, you know, are we going to have some kind of, you know, bad year next year? And granted, we haven't played the playoff game yet, but I'm curious as to why so many fans just have a negative outlook on this playoff team after 30 years of not winning, man. You would think people would be more happy and more excited and more optimistic.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Andre. When you look at the defense, I mean, he's right. It's not like the defense is the worst of the National Football League, but to counter that point, look, man, you get to the playoffs, you're not playing crap teams anymore. Right, you're playing the best of the best, and I don't think a lot of people have confidence in the defense is why, you know, a lot of people are down on it. Not to say that they can't go out there and play well, but at the same point, you know, the thing I have with the defense, and I'm not mad about it, is I just don't think they have the talent on that side of the ball to get it done. And, you know, looking ahead to down the line, we can save that for the offseason and how you're going to fix it and everything. But for now, they've got what they've got. And I think if you can get their best performance, it's still a middle-of-the-pack defense, is why a lot of people are down on them, because they haven't necessarily always played up to their potential, which frankly, their potential isn't very high, in my opinion. It's not, you know, their potential isn't a top 10 defense. Their potential is probably somewhere around 15th best defense in the league. And at times they play that way. At times they play much worse than that. So, look, I'm not down on them. It also just shows how impressive of a job everyone really over there in Ashburn deserves so much credit. Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Joe Witt, Cliff Kingsbury, all the coaches, right, position coaches, the players, because they have maxed out what they can out of this group. And who knows what they can who knows what they can do? I'm not saying they can't win a game in the playoffs. They have maxed out their potential. And if they go out there, they've maxed it out to the point, Chris, where if they play well tomorrow night, they win. Right? Like, if they play well, they play their game, and frankly, there's no chance anyone would take the quarterbacks out. There's no chance anyone would take Washington's roster over the Buccaneers roster as a whole, right? Like, there's no chance. There's certain players you'd take, right? I mean, I don't want to take away too much from Washington. They had four second-team All-Pros. Part of that is the team success that goes with it. But they had, you know, Bobby Wagner was good this year. Frankie Louvu was good this year. Terry was awesome this year, right? Like, they deserve the recognition they got. Some of that comes with also winning games and being impactful and coming up in big spots. This team is 12-5, you know, right? So I'm not down on them. But you look at so many players for the Buccaneers, I'm probably taking a lot of the Bucs roster over Washington, and that's nothing against what Washington has. It's supposed to be a rebuilding year. It's fine. But it shows what they've done over there, where they've done a great job to build this team, where they're playing with chemistry, they're playing to the max of their potential, and the beauty of it, the max of their potential when you include the quarterbacks, the max of their potential is they can beat anybody. They can absolutely beat anybody. There's not a single team that you could throw in Washington's way the rest of the way that I'd say, yeah, there's no chance. I'm not saying they're going to beat every team, but if they were to have to go to Detroit next week, do you feel like they have zero shot? No. I'm not saying they have a great shot, but if they have to get in a shootout with Detroit, sure, why not? That defense is banged up. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself or anything, but I think when you look at it, where this team has gotten to is all of these players have built a great chemistry and maxed it out. And so that's why you look at it. And there are some frustrations, but I think some of it is, frankly, the roster wasn't good enough to get to where they maybe want to go, but it wasn't supposed to be. You can only do so much in a year. Adam Peters turned over half the roster in a year, and they won 12 games. They're only going to get better as time goes on. At least you would hope. They're only going to improve the roster, which theoretically should improve the team and improve what the ceiling can be for this team. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say that too many fans are super down on the defense. Like, we're not confident in the defense. We're also not, we also understand where it is, right? Like, I think a lot of people that talk about the defense and say it isn't great kind of understand where it's at. It's not that there's anything wrong with where it is. It's just, it is what it is. It's not great. It's not a great unit. And if you're going to win playoff games, plural, it's probably not going to be on the back of your defense. You're going to need them to make a couple of stops. But if Washington wants to win tomorrow, I mean, we were having this discussion on G&D yesterday. How many points do you think Washington has to score? It's not in the 20s, probably. They're probably going to have to get up at least the high 20s if it is the 20s. It's probably in the 30s if they want to win this ballgame. Is going to be on the back of the offense. We'll see. We'll give you some of our predictions in a little bit. Also give you some more keys to the game. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You're listening to Overtime on The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you till 6 o'clock. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Talking about keys to the game. So, number one, laid out, you don't want to start slow. The last three games, you've started out slow. You trailed at halftime at each of these. You don't want that. Don't start slow. Come out of the gates firing. Honestly, you come out of the gates firing, you put some extra pressure on Tampa Bay. So don't start slow. Number two, find some sort of running game, even if it just has to be Jaden. Now, something to note, you don't want to exhaust Jaden by everything being on him. Every single play is a run play with him or a pass play with him. But if your only way of getting an effective run game going is through using Jaden's legs, then use Jaden's legs. It does not matter what it looks like this time. It does not matter what the stats are. Just win the game. Just win. So find some sort of running game, even if it has to be just Jaden. I got four more. Don't allow the explosive plays. Like we laid out a little bit earlier with the explosive play numbers, 20-plus yard plays. The Buccaneers rank 6th in the National Football League at 73. The Commanders 9 behind them. They're 13th in the league with 64. Explosive plays, which the NFL classifies as 20-yard pass plays or 10-yard run plays. The Buccaneers are 2nd in the NFL with 132. The Commanders are 11th with 112. So don't allow the explosive plays. Don't let the Buccaneers get down the field. That's what they want to do. That's where they would live if they could. That's what they want to be, is they want to live as that explosive team that pushes the ball down the field and creates the big plays. That's what Baker Mayfield is, right? That's what Mike Evans is. Big time, big play, receivers and quarterbacks. And he's going to give you some opportunities. And that's the other thing. Take advantage when Baker Mayfield makes a mistake. You know, Baker's been incredible this year. If you look at Baker's stats, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. There's no way you can, you know, get around that. He's been incredible. You look at his yardage total. You look at any stat, he's been one of the best in the league. 4,500 yards, 71% completion percentage. He's got 41 touchdowns, but the big bugaboo is 16 interceptions. Also been sacked 40 times. So you got to take advantage when Baker Mayfield gives you a mistake. Get you a little nerdy here. The interception rate this year for Baker Mayfield's been 2.8%. So if he throws the ball 35 or more times, then at that rate, he'll throw you at least one interception. At least one. Chances are you're going to get multiple opportunities. And unfortunately for this team, sometimes they've had those opportunities and they've gone right through their hands. Take advantage whenever Baker Mayfield gives you a mistake. Keep Bucky Irving contained. The last four games for Bucky Irving, week 15 against the Chargers, 15 carries, 117 yards. Week 16 against Dallas, 16 carries, 68 yards and a touchdown. Week 17 against Carolina, 20 carries, 113 yards. And then this past week against New Orleans, 19 for 89 and a touchdown. He's been averaging 5.5 yards per carry in the last four, just under 97 yards per game in the last four games. Lastly, discipline, discipline, discipline. This team has been penalized so badly recently, and it just can't happen. It cannot happen. Going back to the last four games since the bye week, Cowboys game last week, 5 penalties, 55 yards. Atlanta, 13 penalties for 108 yards. The Eagles, 6 penalties for 93 yards. The Saints, 9 penalties for 84 yards. Clean that up. Don't hurt yourself. The other part about this, too, that we haven't talked about a whole lot, you don't know what Tampa team is going to show up. And so some of this goes along with some of the other things that we've talked about in terms of putting some extra pressure, starting fast, not beating yourself. Which Tampa team is going to show up? We don't know, right? Like, this is their last four games. They beat the Los Angeles Chargers, a playoff team we're watching right now, 40-17. That's a really good Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. Really, really good. Next week, they lose to the Dallas Cowboys, 26-24. And I realize that Dallas is probably better than we give them credit for. Washington has struggled with them both times they played them. Dallas ain't good. There's no question about that. Dallas ain't good. You know, this is a team that's won 6 out of their last 7 games, but it's not like it's all been pretty. I mean, you look at their game against Carolina. That was a blowout, 48-14, after they got frustrated because they'd lost their own way and they lost their own destiny to the playoffs because they lost to Dallas. They answer back. They dominated Carolina, 48-14. But then last week, everything to play for, they were trailing the New Orleans Saints at halftime 16-6. New Orleans had nothing to play for. So I know Washington struggled against New Orleans as well. The point is, you don't know what Buccaneers team is going to show up. This team has been up and down. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Washington's done the same thing to an extent at times. You don't know which Buccaneers team is going to show up. If it's the good one, well, then you better be ready to roll. If it's the bad one, then take advantage. Take advantage and roll early. You know, Washington did not look good last week in the first half against Dallas. I don't know that that's going to happen again because it seems like this team, which, by the way, is maybe the first time in my life it feels like this, this team gets up for big games and shows up in big games. Specifically, Jaden Daniels. And I don't know that I've ever felt that way about this team, but they do. I don't have any worry at all that Jaden's not going to show up. No worries whatsoever. I feel as confident as could be that Jaden Daniels is going to go out there and put on a good performance for Washington. Is it going to be enough to win? Who knows? I certainly hope so. But I have all the confidence in the world that Jaden's going to go out there and show well for Washington. You don't know that for certain about Tampa Bay. And so if you can go out there early on and put some pressure on this team and see if they're going to fold and see what happens, it'd be a real good opportunity. The other thing about this that's crazy is, you know, Tampa Bay won 2 less games than Washington. So as much as it almost feels like people are embracing this as an underdog, they're not an underdog. I know Washington lost to them in week one. That was 4 months ago. Are you the same person you were 4 months ago? Probably not.
I think anything that happened before that Bengals game, it's You can't even really.
Exactly right.
It's like preseason. It's, you know what I mean? Like, the team was still figuring it out.
It was 4 months ago. I'm not even the same person I was 4 months ago. I weigh a little more, probably, if anything. I definitely haven't lost any since 4 months ago.
Blood pressure issues this season. My God, these close games.
Yeah, exactly. I probably have more health issues after 4 months. I'm not the same guy. You think the football team's the same after 4 months? No chance. Washington won 12 games this year. Look, I don't feel great about the roster, and I've talked about Washington won 12 games. There's no denying that. People can argue about how good. It doesn't matter. They won 12 games. Tampa won 10. And I think B. Mitch has brought up a really, really good point about this. You know, if you want to talk about Washington's schedule, which I don't know that many fans are, but if you're looking at it, and we're going to have this discussion in the offseason, I already know it. If you want to look at it and say, well, Washington played this, and they did. Look, Cincinnati would be in the playoffs if it wasn't for Washington, right? Cincinnati would like that one win in week three. They didn't get it because Washington beat them. Arizona would be a little closer to a playoff spot if they didn't kick the crap out of them 42-14, right? The Chicago Bears were a winning football team until Washington played them.
I mean, that everyone, you know, their season just fell apart after that loss. I don't think that's just due to us. I mean, that was a heartbreaking loss for them, I'm sure.
I'm sure there was other stuff, but man, that did not help.
I don't think that one throw caused them to lose, what, the next, like, nine straight or whatever
was. Atlanta would be in the playoffs if it wasn't for Washington, right?
Yeah, probably.
Atlanta's there. Philadelphia lost to Washington. Like, I don't know. Like, you can say what you want. Washington took care of business on their schedule. They're 12-5, and they're the underdog going into Tampa Bay. I think they can get it done. I feel really good about them getting it done. And the reason I feel the best about it, and the reason why I feel better about this team than I've probably ever felt about any team in my life, is you've got the quarterback that when you walk in there, they don't want to face that guy. They don't want to deal with that dude. I was scared of Baker Mayfield. When I looked at potential matchups for Washington in the playoffs, you want to know what I looked at? Quarterback. The first thing I looked at. I looked at Baker. I looked at Stafford. I looked at Hurts. And I thought I'd rather face Stafford currently than Baker because Baker's been hot. Regardless of how you feel about that, you know who no one wants to face in the NFC? Jaden Daniels. No one wants to face that guy. He is that dude right now. He might be the best quarterback in the NFC right now. Might be a little hyperbolic. Might not be. He might, as a rookie, be the best, if not one of the best, quarterbacks in the NFC. And he plays for your football team. You should have all the confidence in the world going into tomorrow night.
I don't think that's hyperbolic at all. I mean, AFC, I think, has better quarterbacks overall than the NFC. But, you know, they're even talking about Jaden's in that MVP conversation. Now, nobody says he's a favorite or nothing, but still, to even have him up there.
Like someone said, he's closer to MVP than not winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, right? Like, he's closer to winning the actual Top Dog Award than he is not even just winning the Offensive Rookie of the Year, saying he's not the best rookie. He's clearly the best rookie. He might even be the best player in the NFC East. That's how good he's been. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about, there's a matchup that I think we have to keep an eye on. It's not the Mike Evans one. We talked about some of those other ones. It's another sneaky matchup that I think could help decide this game. We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 6 o'clock right here on 106.7 The Fan. Feel free to tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. We'll get you some of our score predictions and what we think is going to happen tomorrow night next here on The Fan. But there's one matchup that I want to highlight. Before we get out of here, there's one matchup that I think could be the deciding factor outside of the main ones, right? You know, we've talked about the important guys, the big-time matchups already. We've talked about them extensively all week. You know, I'm talking Mike Evans and Marshawn Lattimore. We understand that. We've talked about Bucky Irving in this run defense. We've talked about Washington's offense and being able to run the football and Jaden in the run game. And we've talked about Brian Robinson and Terry McLaurin. We've talked about the big names. We've broken those guys down pretty extensively, and rightfully so. Those are probably going to be the big-time deciders of this one. Just like they are in every big-time game, it's normally the big-time dudes that show up. But there is an X-factor matchup here. that I think could be the difference in a game that's likely to be decided by a small margin. You know, if this is a close one, the odds makers have it as very evenly matched. If this game is going to be a toss-up of sorts, it's going to be the little things that win this one. And I think the little matchup that's outside of the main ones, the big-time matchups that I'm watching, is Jalen McMillan and who matches up with him from play to play. Because he's been moved around a little bit. I wanted to detail this. So on the season, PFF has his alignment as out wide for 457 snaps, in the slot for 161, in the backfield for 7. So primarily an outside receiver this season. But if you look in his last 7 games, he's been targeted 36 times, caught the ball 27 times, 352 yards, 7 touchdowns in those 7 games, good for 13 yards per reception. So you figure 4 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown is what he's averaged over the last 7 games. That's not a huge, huge impact, but that is an impact. That's a guy that, you know, suddenly it turns from 4 for 50 into 6 for 90 and 2 touchdowns. And the specific thing that I'm worried about is 7 touchdowns in 7 games. And when you look at how he's been used since the bye week, in those 36 targets, he's been targeted while lined up just outside 14 times. He's been targeted while lined up just in the slot 9 times. The one that worries me a little bit is he's been targeted while being moved around and used in an other scenario 11 different times. He's motioned across the formation 4 times. He's motioned out of a bunch twice. The outside, the running back lined up outside and then motioned back in, leaving him as the outside guy twice. He's motioned inside from being outside twice. He's motioned outside from being inside once. He's done a little bit of everything. And he's been targeted 36 times in the last 7 games. This is the matchup, I think, that could decide the game. You know, if Washington wins this one, we don't talk about this at all. If Washington wins, we don't talk about Jalen McMillan, I don't think, a whole lot. And I think that's how they're going to win this one, is making sure these other guys don't get off with Marshon Lattimore lining up over Mike Evans. But I think if Tampa Bay wins, this is what we're talking about on Monday. This is what we're breaking down throughout the rest of the week, is, man, those back-breaking catches by Jalen McMillan, whether it's a touchdown, whether it's a big-time third down, and maybe you can throw Cade Otton into here as well, you know, specifically these secondary options, but the guy that maybe gives me a little bit of pause and being excited about this matchup for Washington is a guy like Jalen McMillan. We know the big time guys. We understand what they're going to do. And obviously you want to keep them in check. But I think when the margins are this small, you know, you look on Washington's side of the ball. We talked about this. Who's going to step up outside of Terry? Is the run game going to get back in order? Or is it going to have to be Olamide Zaccheaus? Is it going to have to be Luke McCaffrey? And, you know, look at the game against Atlanta. How big was Olamide Zaccheaus for that one, right? It was a secondary option that stepped up when the big-time corner was matched up with your number one receiver. Well, that's the potential right here. You've got the number one corner lined up on the number one wide receiver, and I think that Mike Evans will still find some success. But it's those secondary options that can be the difference. And I think Jalen McMillan, if he lines up outside, you've got Sanders still on him. I feel good about that matchup. I do. I think Sanders still has improved as the year has gone on. I thought, really, outside of Sanders still, I wasn't very impressed with the defense last week. But I thought Sanders still played his tail off. Obviously, won a Rookie of the Week. Had a really good week last week. So I'm fine. Sanders still's on him. I feel pretty confident. But you've seen in these last couple of weeks, since the bye week, that they've kind of moved him around, and you can kind of hunt matchups with Jalen McMillan, a guy that Baker Mayfield started to throw the ball to a little bit more on the season in the second half. And do you move him into the slot and try to see what you can get against Igbinoghene? Are you moving him around to see if there's miscommunications? Because that's something that happened in week one. We kind of forget about it because it ultimately didn't matter. But remember, there was a time when Jalen McMillan, he's the guy that ended up with the wide open potential catch at like the 10-yard line that he's unable to haul in because there was a miscommunication on a motion. I know that's a long time ago. That's 4 months ago. crazy to think about. I mean, really, these football teams, they've met this season, but they're so different. They are so, so different. We talk about week one now. That's almost a glorified preseason game. You're playing all your guys, but you're not at all in a rhythm. You don't fully understand what you're working with yet, especially with a rookie quarterback and a bunch of new personnel and a bunch of new coaches. So Washington definitely wasn't the same, and Tampa's not going to be the same. But Jalen McMillan almost had a touchdown or had a chance at one against Washington in week one because of a miscommunication on a motion play. I think he's going to get motioned around. I think he's going to be the secondary option outside of Otten for this Tampa Bay offense when you're looking at guys outside of Mike Evans. I think at the receiver position, he's the number two. Otten's probably the true number two in terms of receiving options just because of talent. But I think Jalen McMillan could really step up, and I think that's the matchup I'm keeping an eye on. You know, Sam Ristill, if you're lined up outside, I think's got a good shot on him. I'm curious about how Igbinoghene will do, but they're going to move him around. They're going to seek out matchups. He's kind of their chess piece a little bit. I think if you can keep Mike Evans contained where he doesn't go off, my big thing is this. You know, if Mike Evans goes 6 catches for 80 yards, I'll live with that. Totally fine. You can't have the 12 for a buck 50 and 2 touchdowns. That's what you can't have, right? You can't have the crazy game that we're talking about in Buccaneers lore for the rest of time. You can't have that. Same thing with Bucky Irving. If Bucky Irving goes 18 carries for 90 yards, all right, that's fine. You'd prefer to be better, but I can't have you going 18 carries for 145 yards and 2 touchdowns. If you keep those guys in check, that's how you make this into the small margins winning this one, right? You know, if you're Tampa, you're a little on the other side thinking the same thing. If Terry goes 4 for 75, I'm all right, right? I'm not worried if Terry gets 75 yards receiving. I can't let Terry get 135 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's the big thing, I think, for Washington. Don't let Mike Evans go off. Don't let Bucky Irving go off. And I think with acquiring Marshon Lattimore, that's part of why you got him. To put him on Mike Evans in this sort of a spot and just leave it alone. I've talked about this before, and you know there's a little parallel with this. Marshon Lattimore was acquired by Washington midseason. Reminds me of when I worked in Milwaukee for a Bucks championship run in 2021. They acquired P.J. Tucker. His assignment in the playoffs in the Nets series was Kevin Durant. You go back and look at that series, Kevin Durant was still putting up a ridiculous amount of points. He was still scoring 40 a night, and he was really the reason the Nets were still in that series. They had some other injuries and different things, but Kevin Durant still got his. But because P.J. Tucker was on him, they didn't ever have to help off. And while Kevin Durant still did his thing, it didn't change the structure of the defense, and no one else really, really went off. That, to me, is the key for this defense against Tampa's offense. Mike Evans, he can get his. You don't want him going crazy, but Mike Evans gets 80 yards, you live with that. I can't let Mike Evans go for 80 and Jalen McMillan go for 80 and Kate Otten go for 50 and Bucky Irving run for a buck 30, right? I can't have all those things. If you hold Bucky Irving and Mike Evans in check, suddenly it becomes a matchup of the secondary options and the second-tier defenders. And I'll take my chances with Mike Sanmristill and Jalen McMillan. I'll take my chances with Wagner and Luvu matched up against, say, Rashad White and working on covering Otten with Jeremy Chin and Quan Martin. I'll take my chances there. So I think that's the matchup, and that those types of matchups are the ones I'm keeping my eye on, where how can you make it so that it comes down to those guys. So take out those top options and make them not dominate this game. But then those secondary options, specifically Jalen McMillan, I'm hoping that we come in Monday night, and I'll be on the postgame show with Doc after the game tomorrow. I'm hoping we're not even talking about Jalen McMillan because Mikey Sanders still made him MIA. But I fear if they lose this one, the guy that we're going to be talking about right behind Mike Evans and Bucky Irving and Baker is Jalen McMillan, because I think those are the types of guys that win this one if Tampa wins it. For Washington, the other side, you know, they've got a couple of guys that maybe fit into that role, But I think specifically for Washington to win this one, you can't let a guy like Jalen McMillan beat you while also holding in check Mike Evans and Bucky Irving. And like we've talked about the importance of those guys, but don't let this X-factor matchup go in their favor. And I think you can win this one. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up and give you our predictions for Sunday Night Football, Commanders and Bucks. We'll do that next here on Overtime on The Fan. Just a couple more minutes here on Overtime. Getting ready for tomorrow's Sunday Night Football matchup, Commanders and Buccaneers. Just like we all thought, by the way. Just like we were all talking about before the draft when Washington was picking number two overall. Just like we thought when we were in training camp. This team would win 12 games for sure. For the first time in my life, yeah, absolutely. They're going to be 12-5. They're going to be going on the road. They're going to be just barely an underdog against whoever they face in the playoffs. Yeah, it's just like we thought. Just like we thought. Toby Altizer with you till 6 o'clock. Then we got some Caps hockey coming on tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll turn it over to the Infinity Sports Network next. So, wrapping up, want to give our predictions for the game. I'll go a little off of last segment as well. Chris, I want your prediction for the game. And who's your standout X-factor player? It can be Jaden. It can be Terry. It can be some like mainstream guy. But game prediction, score, and then who is the X-factor player for Washington?
I mean, X-factor's easy. It's got to be Jaden. This is the playoffs. Your sure. Stars got to play like stars. This is where you do it. If you can't do it today, I don't care about all those fourth-quarter comebacks in the regular season. Not today, tomorrow. But like this is when the stars got to play like stars. So... he's definitely got to be, he has to be the X factor. There's no one else we can put the team on their shoulders like he can.
Correct.
Final score, that's a tough one. It could be a big shootout. I'm hoping, you know, with Lattimore back, that goes in our favor, but you never know. But let's go high. Let's go 38-34 Skins, Commanders.
Yeah, jeez, Chris, come on. Come on, Chris. Yeah, I'm kind of...
The last time I talked about this team in the playoffs.
Well, to be fair, the last time this team won a playoff game, it was in Tampa, and they were still the Skins. So yeah. Maybe we can get some repeat history with that. I'm going to go on the same sort of boat as you. I feel if Washington's going to win this one, they're going to have to put up some points. I'm going to go 34-31 Washington. And I think I gave this same guy out yesterday. We talked about it in the previous segment. The guy that I think is the X-factor player, Jaden has to be big. Terry has to show up. We don't know all the big guys. I think Mikey Sanders still and whoever's going to be covering McMillan and those secondary guys, because I think Lattimore is going to do his thing, but I think specifically Sanders still. I think Sanders still is going to be the X-factor, the guy that pushes you over the top in a game that's likely to be close. So I'm going to go Washington 34-31 so that way, Chris, we can come back in here on Monday. We'll have a victory Monday. We'll be talking about a divisional round matchup. Oh, I'm fired up. By the way, tomorrow night after the game, Burgundy and Gold postgame show, I'll be with Doc Walker. We'll take you up until 2 a.m., hopefully celebrating a win. That's going to do it for us tonight. Appreciate Chris. I'm Toby Altizer. Talk to you next time.